Well, on the upcoming show, we are taking a trip to Germany with Chris Christensen, and we're going to learn about a travel opportunity for you and for your clients. I want to welcome you to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. This is show number 371. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. Lorena and I want to thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to listen to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. We hope you are enjoying the show and hope that you're finding something of value to help your business. And speaking of business, if you're looking for a host agency, or maybe you're a beginning travel agent, or perhaps an agent with plenty of experience, well, Magnum Travel Worldwide, a family-run host agency, has a program for you. In fact, they have a program that lets you keep 100% of your commissions. So, if you're in the market for a host agency, check them out at magnumtravelworldwide.com/switch. That's Magnum Travel Worldwide, all one word, then .com/switch. And I want to thank you for supporting our sponsors. You know, it helps us continue to bring you the Home Base Travel Agent Show. So thank you for that. If you are driving, working out, or maybe you're in a spot where you can't take notes about what you're listening to, then when you get a chance, visit the website for the Home Base Travel Agent Show, where you'll find the show notes, and we'll have all the links that we've talked about in the show within the show notes. Or maybe you just want to visit our website, and when you get there, you can listen to the show. You know, we have a great podcast player right on the website. And the Home Base Travel Agent Show can be found at hometravelagent.net. And while you're there, subscribe to our newsletter, and you'll get the show notes right in your inbox. And, you know, we don't spam your inbox. You only hear from us when there's a new show or we have something really important to pass along to you. And speaking of that, if you'd like to pass along any comments, questions, or show ideas, you can email me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. I'd love to hear from you. The Home Base Travel Agent Show is an affiliate of the National Association of Career Travel Agents, NACTA. And we welcome all our listeners from NACTA. And if you're not familiar with NACTA, you can find them at NACTA, N-A-C-T-A.com, NACTA.com. And when you get a chance, and if you go to the website, there's buttons on the website to subscribe to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. You can subscribe on iTunes or through any other method, like on Android, that you're listening to the show from. Okay, with all of that, we're going to be right back with the interview after a short break. Well, welcome once again. We are here in the interview portion of the show, and once again, we're fortunate to have Chris Christensen back with us. Actually, what we did, we wanted to talk about two of Chris's adventures, and so we decided to do the recording all in the course of one evening here, well, evening in on the East Coast, in the Eastern Time Zone at least, and so we set these two interviews up, two different destinations, but kind of all within the interview, all within the same time frame. So we have Chris back, and you know, as I mentioned, Chris is our destination go-to guy, and he's always willing to jump on board here and talk about places that he's adventured to, and we really appreciate that because travel is all about the adventure. And Chris has a wonderful way of describing those adventures and has a way to bring you right there. And other people think so too because he's won awards doing this. So with that, I want to turn it over to Chris, and we're going to talk about another adventure that you recently took. So why don't you take it away?
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me back on. It seems like it's only been minutes.
It has.
But well, when we talked recently for those who were listening, and just a few minutes ago for us about the Baltic cruise I did, I mentioned something about I didn't do the extension there to Berlin because I had recently been there. I had done a trip in June here with the German Tourism Board as their guest because they're trying to get out the word to basically to your audience, to people who are wanting to travel to Germany for next year's anniversary of the Reformation. This will be the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, and there definitely will be tourists who are going to go for that celebration. In fact, I know my home church, which happens to be a Lutheran church, you know, they're looking forward to going, and a group is going to go over there. And so with that, they wanted to get the word out about these destinations that are significant for the Reformation, including, of course, Wittenberg. And so I went to that portion of Germany where a lot of this happened, basically in what used to be the GDR, the old East Germany, predominantly from starting in Berlin and then heading down towards the southwest to places like Wittenberg, Lutherstadt, and Erfurt, which is where Luther was a monk and where he trained in law school before that. And then to down, finally, the other anchor would be the castle at Wartburg. Near Eisenach, which is where Luther translated the Bible or the New Testament into German. And what I didn't know, what I learned from that, is that that was so significant an event in terms of uniting Germany, because there were a number of different Germans around at that time, German languages, that is. And so that significance of having that Bible available in German, even if you're not religious, when they had the big celebration 50 years ago for, or I mean, it was 25 years ago rather, for the last big Reformation anniversary, even the GDR celebrated that because of the significance of Luther as the unifier of Germany, or that was one of the first steps towards unifying Germany. Because remember, at the time that he wrote, at the time that he was nailing things to church doors, there were 365 independent city-states in Germany rather than one big country. That doesn't come till later on in the 1800s. So fascinating area. You've been to Germany, Barry. Have you been to what used to be the GDR?
I have not. I have not been to Germany.
What would you expect if I said I was in some place that used to be the GDR?
I would expect a fairly poor economic conditions, run down.
That's kind of what I expected. I had been through East Germany once before. I'd been to East Berlin more recently, but I'd been in places like Magdeburg, for instance, which was just over the border, and it was about a year after the wall fell, and it was dreary. I have to say, it was a lot of Soviet style block, you know, cheap cement houses and things. So I was surprised. One is there is still an economic problems going on in East Germany, in the sense that after the wall came down, a lot of the factories closed because they couldn't compete with the West. And so a lot of the cities I went to lost a third to a quarter of their population, somewhere in that range. But a lot of them are building back up again. And especially these places that are significant historically are really wonderful, beautiful cities. They didn't have the money to tear down and build new things like they did in Frankfurt. And so I was continually surprised the number of places like Weimar, that was the whole head of the old Weimar Republic, less significant as a Reformation site, but still a very significant historic city and a beautiful city. And Wittenberg and Eisenach are probably the only city I went to that wasn't as, you know, didn't have the old cobblestone medieval core in quite the same way was Dessau. And I went there not because of its connection to the Reformation, but because there are three different UNESCO World Heritage sites right near there. One is doing a celebration, I think it's the year after next, and that is for the Bauhaus architectural school, basically was in Dessau, which is basically modern architecture, the way you would picture buildings from the 50s, except they were designing them in the 20s in that style. And then there's also a a beautiful, the Garden Kingdom of Dessau-Firlitz, which is basically from the Age of Enlightenment, from the late 1700s, early 1800s, this beautiful, beautiful gardens that you could spend probably a week there just exploring these different gardens. There's five different huge, huge. And when I say gardens, I don't mean like, hey, isn't this a lovely garden? I mean, think more like a national park size gardens. And so that's a UNESCO World Heritage Site also in Dessau. So I would go from, you know, city to city. I wasn't driving that far, but I would kept going from UNESCO World Heritage Site to another. And it's just a beautiful area. I was quite surprised.
What I was thinking about too, when you were talking, and here's an opportunity for travel agents that, you know, if you create, I mean, maybe this is the appropriate time to create a tour to Germany, considering it's the upcoming anniversary of the Reformation,
right.
And, you know, to do that, you know, what a better time to actually engage in that. Then another thought that I had too, as you were talking, was that, you know, if I do go to Germany, one of my primary interests would be to do an ancestral pilgrimage, because I know a lot of my, I still have a lot of relatives that I don't even know over there that we share the last name, surname, and to go over there and kind of explore that part of it too. And, you know, that's another opportunity to do some of these ancestral pilgrimages for people as well.
Well, and the other thing I would think for your audience, one thing you might think about too is, you know, having learned more about this coming up, it's also an opportunity to, you know, maybe go to the local Protestant churches in town and say, hey, are, you know, are you interested in doing a tour? You know, not everybody mm-hmm. will have gotten their act together already to do something for that date, but they might be interested. So it's just a different opportunity and a timely one.
Yeah.
So I thought that might be interesting. And it's a beautiful place. I think there you could easily have a very good experience there. One thing I would say that is something you should know is, now I was doing this as a self-driving tour, and the driving is easy. It's all new roads since basically the reunification. So gorgeous, gorgeous highways, not at all a problem for driving, a little bit for navigation, just because occasionally I would come across a detour. Well, I would come across a road closed with no detour, and I have to figure it out with navigation.
I saw on your Google Plus post the German road signs and what you should be aware of when you're driving in Germany, and I found that quite interesting.
Yeah, no, there was a couple things there that I didn't know, like the whole timed parking. Basically, you pulled in front of a sign and it has a little dial on it. And you're like, I don't know what to do with that. But your rental car will have a dial with it that you'll leave on your dashboard what time you arrived. And that's how they know you haven't been there too long.
Oh.
And that's a little trick you need to know if you're going to rent a car.
That's why they call it a parking disc. I noticed that on your Google Plus
post. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But the one thing I would say, though, is probably in that part of Germany, I did run into a little less English, even in hotels and restaurants. And that's a little surprising to me. But you have to remember that an older generation there, when they were learning a foreign language, you know, if they were in school before the fall of the wall, it was probably Russian. Quite possibly. You know, I don't know how much it's probably changed a lot more now if you run into somebody who's younger. But I did even at some of the hotels have more issues with slow internet and with people, you know, trying to do communication. It's not a big deal because there really aren't that many things you're trying to communicate at a check-in for a hotel. I mean, there's a general script. So even without words, you can usually get most things done. But there were a little more issues with that I would be aware of. But the other thing to know is that some of the cities, like Wittenberg, is opening a new museum that will be open in time next year for the Reformation, with 95 treasures of the Reformation will be the first thing that's in that museum. And Wittenberg is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, both the Luther House as well as the Melanchthon House. Melanchthon, one of the other reformers in town there. And I traveled there, and this is an interesting trick. When the tourism board wanted me to get a great experience, they said, we want you to come for the Luther Wedding Festival. Like, okay. So Luther was married at you know, after the Reformation, he got married because they decided that monks didn't have to stay celibate. And so he married an ex-nun, and they are still celebrating to this day that celebration of marriage in a medieval festival in Wittenberg. It happens in the first part of June. And they wanted me to show up in time for the children's parade. And that part of it is more targeted at locals. But it's, you know, this is the kind of thing that even if you didn't care at all about the Reformation, it's one of those fun medieval festivals with everybody in costume and, you know, food and rides. But the rides are all hand cranked. The rides are things that you could have actually done in the time of the Reformation or the Middle Ages. So that was it, real interesting being there at that time. And then the three significant dates, or the two significant dates where things are going to be happening, is the actual day of when he nailed things to the church chapel door. Sorry. And then in Wartburg, in the castle, they'll also be having special celebrations around the day that he came to Wartburg. And I think one of those is in spring and one of those is in fall. So they're going to stretch out the, you know, celebrations between the two. But yeah, quite a lot of interesting things to see. Definitely can be an excuse to get to Germany if you have been wanting to get there. And then while you're there, as you say, you might be checking out, you know, where your family is from. Although it turns out my German family is from now what is in Poland, because the borders have moved around a lot. Or get to places like Berlin. And I think Berlin is going to be one of those places that if you're going to go to Wittenberg, it's easier to fly into Berlin. And so that's something that easily you should add on to a destination if somebody's going to be going, because there's so much to see in Berlin.
And you know, how about the accommodations there? We're again, I'm going back to the image that I have of East Germany, thinking of accommodations, and Coco's getting into his bedtime routine here, so he's barking a little bit.
Accommodations were fine. The internet was a little slow in the hotels that I stayed at, but really had no complaints other than that about the accommodations. And, you know, food was plentiful. We're talking about, you know, good German cuisine. One of the things that's different is with the cuisine is that there is now more variety. There are now, you can get a salad in Germany. And I don't know if that was the case when I first went to Germany, you know, decades ago. But in fact, Berlin, oddly enough, was recently named the best vegan travel destination in the world. And that just astounds me, because that is so different from what Germany used to be. But yeah, accommodations were – now, I was not arranging my accommodations, I should say. The tourism board was, so I wasn't looking at a lot of different options. But the places that I ended up staying in, there's a list on my website of where I stayed. We're all fine. There really wasn't any issue at all. There weren't – yeah, it wasn't like I was staying in anything that in any way felt like an old communist style hotel or things like that. Many of them were historic, but they were fine. They were, you know, comfortable.
Oh, okay. Good. Good. Yeah. Sometimes it's just hard to get those images out of your head, you know?
No, I would say this trip definitely shattered a lot of those for me, because I expected dreary and I found quaint and picturesque and quite often just downright beautiful. I was in – there's a new national park, for instance, near Eisenach, where I was up in a tree walk, basically up in the canopy walk. And I, you know, picturing a canopy walk in a German forest, that was not what I pictured. The gardens at Dessau-Wörlitz, you know, which were just spectacularly beautiful. And, you know, the castle at Wartburg, the old Erfurt Market Bridge, which is like the old London Bridge where they built the shops into the bridge, except a lot smaller and, you know, over a muddy creek instead of a big river, but still basically a bridge from the, I think it's the 1300s, maybe earlier than that. Some of those cities, like Erfurt, weren't very heavily damaged in the war. Places like Dessau were very heavily damaged because that's where the Junker factory was. But some of these, like Wartburg and Erfurt and Wittenberg, basically didn't have to do as much reconstruction. So there's quite a lot of old buildings there, just in a way that I didn't picture. So yeah, lovely, lovely area. And again, the driving, very easy. I would not at all discourage you from, I would encourage you that, that driving is probably a really good option in that area.
Okay, great. And of course, they drive on the right side, right-hand side of the road.
They drive on the right-hand side of the road. And as long as you, you know, remember to stay to the right, you use the left lane just for passing, because sometimes that guy in the left lane can be going awfully darn fast. So you have to look twice before you change lanes. But really, the driving isn't intimidating like, you know, driving in Rome or someplace like that. It's, you know, this is Germany. There are rules and we follow them. So.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of driving around here on Interstate 96. There's no rules in the passing lane.
Excellent. Any other questions I can answer for you and your audience, Barry?
None that I can think of right offhand. I think we've pretty well covered it. And, you know, I really appreciate the description that you give of these wonderful places that you've been and your ability to do that, which is wonderful. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, and again, if you have any questions, we gave my email out last time. We can do that again this time. Just drop me an email to host@amateurtraveler.com, and I can enlighten anyone who has any specific questions.
Yeah, great. And you might mention your podcast, too. You know, I'm not sure the time between – how much time I'm going to have between the two podcasts, the one that we recorded – 20 minutes ago and the one that we're recording now, but in reality somebody might be listening to this 6 weeks from now. So
my podcast is Amateur Traveler at amateurtraveler.com. Like Barry's, it was started in 2005, although we figured out a couple months afterwards, but I think I have more episodes.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because I come out almost every week. I averaged 47 episodes a year over the first 10 years of the show. And so the last episode that just came out was episode 523. So, wow. So yeah, that's quite and each of those is on, well, almost each of those is on a different destination, somewhere domestic or someplace exotic. And really everything in between. We've covered quite a few countries at this place. At this point, we've also, if you want more information about Germany, there's an episode we did on this particular trip, but there are also episodes on just about every major tourism spot in Germany.
You know, that's a great resource for people, you know, especially for developing a specialty, or if you have people that are interested in traveling somewhere. I can almost guarantee that if you go to the Amateur Traveler podcast, you'll probably find that destination your client's interested in, and you might want to give Chris a listen and maybe even suggest to your client to listen to that particular show. Yeah, Chris is a great resource, and I really, really appreciate him. Thank you, Chris.
Well, thanks. I know that Lorene has done that with some of her customers for some of the shows that we did on Hawaii, for instance, when she was sending people out that direction.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yep, and she does a pretty good business with Hawaii. Well, once again, thank you for coming on board. And for people who want to get a hold of me, and we really love the feedback, you can reach me at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net, or on Facebook at facebook.com/HBTAS, the initials for the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. And one more question, Chris, where's your next trip?
I don't know. I don't have any trips scheduled until October, which is hard to picture that'll only be my next trip. In October, I'm doing a conference in the Philippines and doing some exploring while I'm there. There's, you know, always the possibility that somebody will invite me someplace else in between now and then. But right now, the Philippines.
Wonderful. And not until October, huh? Oh, just a whole right. 6 weeks away.
I'll probably be pretty antsy by then.
Yeah, you're going to be home, what, 5 weeks, or have been home 5 weeks
in
or something?
In a row.
In a row. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Thanks a lot, Chris, and we'll be talking to you soon, I'm sure. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, thank you, Chris. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And check out Chris's website and his podcast at amateurtraveler.com. That's amateurtraveler.com. And oh, by the way, we will have another show coming up in the near future with Chris, and Chris is going to describe his experience on Viking Cruises' newly launched cruise ship. So you want to stay tuned for that. Plus, we have another show coming up with Jeannie Bean from Playa Resorts. Yes, Jeannie Bean, I love her name. And she's a great guest on the show that's going to be coming up in the near future. Well, thank you, dear listener, for being a part of our show. And you can feel free to email me anytime at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. And until next time, have safe travels, stay healthy, and bye for now.
Well, maybe we could change time and ship another